Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. Let's look at verse number 11. The Bible says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Do you guys understand that? That's saying, whippings, they hurt for a minute, but what it produces, if you let it, will be righteousness. "Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for the call that you put on my life, Lord. Lord God, if I take it lightly, please forgive me. And Lord God, help me, Lord God, to help your people tonight. Lord, I pray that you just not only speak to one heart tonight, Lord, but you speak to all of our hearts, Lord. And Father, please let everybody here get exactly what you want for us to have, Lord, tonight. Lord, please, Lord, help the preacher, Lord, to heal up. And Lord, I pray even now, Lord, that you'd comfort him. And Lord God, now, Lord, I ask that you give me power, Lord, and compassion in my soul for your people here at Canaan, Lord. And I pray, God, that you'd keep all stupid things that I would say, Lord, away. And Lord Jesus, just let you, I pray, God, please, help me to lift you up, Lord Jesus, and to be an encouragement to your people, Lord. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. Help us to leave here changed and, Lord God, ready to serve you, Lord God, with fervent heat, Lord. Help us not to be cold or lukewarm, but, Father, help us, Lord, to be hot, on fire for your sake, Lord Jesus, because you loved us and died for us. And, Lord, to show you our appreciation, Lord, please, Lord God, help us to live hot Christian lives for you. In Jesus' name we thank you. Lord, I pray if anybody here is lost, God, please save them tonight. Show them their desperate need. And Lord, please don't let them leave here foolishly lost, Lord. But Lord, help them to understand, Lord Jesus, that you paid for everybody to go. And Lord, that you paid for them as well, Lord. We love you and we thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I wanted to preach tonight the day of conditional Christianity. The day of conditional Christianity, but the message is not done yet. And I believe that that's the day that you and I live in today. I mean, you see these churches and these people, they say, "Well, I'll come to church on one condition." And that is the day we're living in. Now, I didn't get to preach that today because the Lord, he was leading me another way. It seems like every time I want to preach something, he says, "No, you ain't preaching it yet. You're preaching this." And what do? I say, "Yes, sir, you got it." Why? Because I want to be in God's will when I preach. Because they listen, I've made a lot of people mad in this life. Amen. Outside of preaching, and I know. As a preacher, I know when I have gone against God and preached what I wanted to preach and nobody got help. So if you would tonight, just sit back, listen. And if you would, please allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in your life tonight and examine yourself. Because tonight is a night of examination. What your life is like right now. This subject that I'm preaching on tonight, it may offend some, know this, though, before you get offended, I didn't come to offend you. I come to be a help to everybody here. Believe it or not, I come to be a help. And I'm not here pointing anybody out, because the Bible lets us know at the end verse that I say that every man knows where they are with God. You know exactly where you are with God. I know exactly where I am with God. And just know this, if you would allow God to move tonight in your heart and we would just listen to a sweet, still voice, man, He would do so many great, like He preached this morning. You know, what if we had more pots to fill? You know, God, He isn't done with our lives, though we act and pretend like He is. We act like we can't do what we used to do. Yes, we can do what we used to do. Now, I know that we're holding on to things, and we're holding on to this Christian walk as tight as we can. And you know, and it gets discouraging sometimes when you see other churches falling away and you see, man, this place used to be packed and now it's not. And sometimes we get discouraged. But tonight I want to preach on the dangers of bitterness. I believe that one of the biggest parts that you and I fall short when it comes to is bitterness. I believe that all of us in here tonight, including myself, I believe with all my heart, this is one of the things that I mostly deal with on a daily basis is bitterness. And man, what a wicked thing it is. What an ungodly thing it is. Man, the Bible calls it a root of bitterness springing up. Man, it grows so fast, and before you know it, it's out of control. Man, that's dangers of bitterness. Look at Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness and unforgiveness go hand in hand. Because of bitterness, you won't forgive, and with unforgiveness comes bitterness. Only one of the biggest, one of the biggest problems in our day and age today is that we've all gotten bitter. And I'm going to be honest with you, preachers, they're the worst. You say, but Brother Todd, you're a preacher. I know. See, I see and I hear and I know what I go through. You know, a preacher that gets hurt time and time and time again because, man, he'll get up there and he'll share his heart and he'll plow that field, the gospel field, and man, he'll expect a response at the end of the service, man, and it just seems like it's dead anymore. Something happens inside that preacher's heart. It's called hurt. And man, it starts springing up. Before you know it, bitterness is everywhere. I asked a preacher one time, I said, man, what causes bitterness? He said, well, when you get hurt. And it is true. That's a form of it. And he said, you know, you'll get callous. After so many times you get hurt, who in here knows anybody that's gotten callous from being hurt so many times? Man, they just don't care anymore. They just look at it and say, oh, well, that's the way it is. No, God wants us to be tender. He wants us to be tender-hearted, love each other, and be kind to one another. Man, I'm so glad Jesus didn't have a root of bitterness springing up in Him, because guess what? I wouldn't be saved today. You wouldn't be saved today. Man, but He is awesome. One of the biggest problems a child of God in the day and age in which we live in struggles with bitterness. I know I do. I do. Man, there was a ton of bitterness in my heart. Man, I had to get it right. You say, how in the world do you get it right? How in the world do you chop that thing down? It's a daily basis. It's a daily thing to do. Man, this one, I'm telling you, this one guy hurt me so bad, I would wake up thinking about it. Every day. Every single day. You ask my wife, I said, man, it's driving me nuts. I can't get it out of my head. You say, what happened? I carried it for about a year. I let it grow for about a year. I couldn't stand it no more, so I called the guy. I said, hey, listen, man, you hurt me. I said, not only did you hurt me, I said, man, you hurt me in front of my family. I was like, you could have hurt me all day long. But man, you did it in front of my family. And right away, he started calling you unright, you self-righteous, blah, blah, blah. I said, hey, listen, I didn't call to argue with you, man. I just called to let you know that you hurt me. I said you misunderstood. I said you used that against me. What you thought you saw, you used against me. And I'm so glad the things that came out of his mouth was godly. He said, "Brother Todd, I'm sorry." Man, whatever happened to that? Amen? You know, I'm telling you, I know men and women that just will not say they're sorry. Will not say they're sorry until it gets really, really bad. Really bad. And man, I said, well, praise the Lord, man. I appreciate that. You know, I wasn't expecting it, to be honest with you. I was calling him to get it off of me. I was calling him to cut it down for me. And God restored something there. I'm so glad he did not hang up on me and did not say, "Oh, well, what do you want me to do?" Because a lot of people do that. "Oh, well, so what do you want me to say?" You know, a preacher, a friend of mine, told me one time, he said, "You know why men don't like saying they're sorry? Look at the word, sorry. They have to admit they're a sorry individual. And man, that totally goes against our pride." Last time I looked, I believe pride is a very, very, very bad thing in God's eyes. Arrogancy, pride, he hates the evil way. He hates arrogancy and pride. He can't stand. I mean, it's wicked. And that keeps us from being, number one, having the fellowship with the Savior. The dangers of bitterness. The fellowship with the Savior is interrupted. Look at verse number 14. "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." You know, we think we're going to live a Christian life. We think we're going to walk with God daily. We think that we're going to have the blessings of God in our life. Go ahead and hold bitterness inside of you and see how far that gets you with God. Go ahead and hold it and let it keep building and growing. I know I have to cut it down every single day. I'll think of something somebody did to me and tell me, am I the only one? And I'll start playing that thing in my head and start conspiring in my head and knowing why they did it and why they thought it and why it was all coming about and why their intention behind it. And man, before you know it, it's like, ooh, I got to get him. Man, I got to cut it down every single day. If not, what happens? It grows. And man, who in here has ever seen a big Detroit weed? You think those are trees in Detroit? There's no oak trees in Detroit. There's no maple. One, a couple maple trees in Detroit. But all them trees that you see in Detroit, they're weeds. I kid you not. I bought a house on a demolition list one time. And man, I'm plowing away, putting up a privacy fence. And a friend of mine, he's a tree trimmer. And I come over, I said, man, I got like 7 trees in my backyard. They're grown out of proportion, man. I said, man, I need them cut down. I got 2 weeks to get this property in order. If I don't get it in order, I was like, man, they're going to come and condemn this place that I just bought to fix up. So he comes over and he was like, "Where's the trees?" I was like, "Dude, you can't see all of them?" He's like, "Those are weeds." I'm not kidding you. They was as tall as this church. Weed. I said, like, "Man, you're kidding me." He's like, "Watch when I start cutting it down, how it smells. Oh my goodness. It ain't as bad as dead minnows." But they didn't smell like a sweet pine. That beautiful pine smell, man. You know what I'm talking about if you ever worked with wood. Or that oak smell, or that hickory. Oh, my. You know what I'm talking about. Man, it stunk. Bitterness stinks, man. It stinks. And you know what? We'll be quick to say, well, they owe me. You know what? We owe Jesus. If we would think that every day, man, we owe Jesus. Man, what a wonderful Christian life and walk this would be. You know what? You don't owe me anything. We all owe Jesus everything. If we could just focus on that. It interrupts. The fellowship with the Savior is interrupted. Follow peace with all men. Look at what it says in verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You know, the enemy of peace is what? War. It's war. If you ever come up fighting with each other, your brothers or your sisters, man, that's war. I'm going to get them back. I'm going to get them. You know, she shouldn't have done that. Wait until she blinks her eyes. You say, Brother Todd, why are you saying she? Because my sister was mean. It was like, she's my idol. Man, my sister was mean. And buddy, she beat me and my brother up at the same time. But man, I'd conspire. Man, how can I get her? And man, what's the best way to mess with your sister? Daniel, don't raise your hand. It's not a question. Oh, sorry. You mess with their stuff. You go in there and you rearrange stuff. You hide stuff. And then you can hear them come out and say, man, where'd my stuff go? And you're like, yeah, beat me up again. War. The opposite of peace is war. Could you look at your life tonight and say, man, I have war in my life, or do I have peace in my life with all men? Or is there a little bit of war? Because the Bible says to follow peace with all men. We're supposed to follow it. You can't have true peace of God with bitterness in your heart. You can't do it. It's impossible. You'll always be pondering and thinking of that thing and thinking of that thing. It'll drive you crazy. It'll discourage you. In the Bible, you know, I've only preached this message one other time. And Brother Blaine and myself, we went to that preacher's meeting. And this is what God wanted me to preach there. So I thought, you know, I'd be preaching something else tonight. But this was already there. And he's like, no, go ahead and do that one. Go ahead, this is the one. And I did. I thought, he was like, man, we're doing popcorn preaching. What did I do? I was like, oh, man. Really? Is that what we're doing? You say, what in the world's popcorn preaching? When they just select people out of the crowd. Come up, preach 10 minutes. Right on the spot. And it ain't as bad knowing when, before you go to that thing, praise the Lord. But when you're sitting there and then they say, hey, we're going to have popcorn preaching. Right then and there, you got to say, Lord, forgive me for this, forgive me for that. God, please. But yeah, but there's a reason why I'm preaching it tonight. Bitterness. The Bible says in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. What kind of unforgiveness are you hiding in your heart tonight, stored back all the way in the crevices of your heart and the thing that messes with your mind? What kind of unforgiveness do you carry around like a big stupid backpack full of lead sinkers? What is it tonight that you carry around with you? Because the Bible tells us to lay aside all weights, all the sin that so easily besets us. And I believe that that word weights, part of it is bitterness. How much unforgiveness are you holding in your heart tonight? Because you know. The Bible lets us know that you know. And I know what we hold on to. It isn't, oh, I didn't know that was there. No! We know exactly where it is. We open it up, that special door, time and time again. And man, we let it out. The Bible says bitterness leads, I believe bitterness leads to hate. 1 John 4:11 through 13, it says, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. 1 John 4:20 says, If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You know, I'm going to be honest with you. There's a guy, and it's, I'm telling you, it's the Lord. It is the Lord that I've been praying for this guy here lately. Because I just felt like it's okay to be able to hate this guy because of what he did to a bunch of little kids. I'm not going to go in depth. And I thought it was okay to hold this hate in my heart. Do I think he's a brother in Christ? Absolutely not. You couldn't convince me that he is. I don't believe a brother in Christ would do something like that to a little kid. I believe the dude's got demons in him. I believe he's full of them. And I believe he's a reprobate in his mind, that there's no coming back for him. I believe that every good thing that he ever thinks that he's ever going to do will become sin in the eyes of God. That's what I believe. Because of what he did to these little boys. But he says he's a Christian. And I thought, man, it's okay to hold that hate in that, my heart. But it's not. I've been praying for this guy. Lord, please, if there's any hope for him in you, I pray that you get a hold of him. And Lord, if he ain't crossed the line, please save him. It don't matter what I think. Because God could show that man mercy. Do I want him in around my kids? No. If I ever see him come through them doors, guess what? I'm going to say, pedophile! Watch your kids around that sucker. Ever comes around me. You say, Brother Todd, that sounds like hate. No, that's me looking out for you and your kids. I don't play that trash. But it's weird. Not weird, but it is. This here is a godly thing. Just a few days. God's been putting him on my heart to pray for him. Todd, you shouldn't hate him. The Bible says that if you hate somebody, listen, the love of God is not perfected in you. And I want God's love to be perfected in me. Does God want us to be gullible? No. Does God want us to bring somebody like that into the fold with a bunch of kids running? That's like putting a crackhead in a crack house with a bunch of crack all over the table. Or a heroin addict in a place where they're selling heroin with needles and syringes everywhere with an unlimited supply of heroin. Do you understand? That's the same thing. Man, I have to pray for him. And I can't hold this hate. Now, if I ever see him, man, I pray to God that I don't snatch him up. To be honest with you. I pray to God that God just keeps me cool. And I'm able to say, pedophile, watch your kids. Have a good day. You understand what I'm saying? But if I hold hate in my heart towards this guy, the love of God will not be perfected in me. You say, man, that just seems like somebody that you could be allowed to hate. But he said, love all men. Live peace. He said, live peace. Look what he says. Follow peace with all men. and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And I think the biggest thing that God wants me to do about that whole praying for that guy is for my benefit. Not for his. It's for me. So I don't hold that in my heart. Now, does God want me to be stupid when it comes to him? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Does he want you to be stupid when it comes to people? Like, absolutely not. But he doesn't want you to sit there and dwell on it and dwell on it and dwell on it. And I'm going to be lying. I'd be lying to you if I haven't never dwelt on it and schemed and tried to get close to this guy to where I can put him in a box and fill it up with cement and toss it into the river out of the back of my truck. I'd be a liar to tell you that I didn't think of those things. I said, "Brother Todd, hey, listen, I got kids. I'm a man. Hey, I'm not perfected yet. Listen, we're not supposed to hate. Bitterness, when we start getting bitter, man, it'll lead to a whole realm of things. And we need to cut that bitterness down. Am I bitter with this guy? No. I've been praying for this guy. Do I hate this guy? No. I've been praying for this guy. Do I want this guy around me? I don't think God wants him around me. I think God wants him to stay far away from kids, far away from me, far away from you. That's what I believe with all my heart. But he don't want me holding that in here because it messes with the fellowship with my Savior. And why should I suffer? Because of something else that he did. You know, some people, they gladly suffer for that. But God doesn't want that for his children. Hebrews 12:15 says that not only does bitterness trouble the one who is being bitter, but it also defiles people around the bitter one. Defiled means stained. When I think of a stain, I think of something that don't go away. So who is in danger of bitterness? Who are the ones that get stained from our bitterness? Well, let's read what it says. It says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, that any root, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Hey, listen, we don't surround ourselves. Look what the Bible says in James chapter number 3. I'm sorry. Go back to Hebrews. So who is in the danger of bitterness? All right, look at what it says. It says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Okay, many be defiled, right? Who gets defiled of this thing called bitterness when you and I have it? Let me ask you a question. Who do you surround yourself by? Around. Family. Who else do you surround yourself around? Your enemies? Friends. Like you. I surround everybody, Brother Lloyd. So who's getting defiled? Who's getting stained up by our bitterness? Our family and friends. Those that we love and care about. You know, me and, who was I talking to the other day? I forget who I was talking to, but I said, "Man, I was like, it seems like I could yell at my kids and my wife, and man, we could go to fighting like cats and dogs over something stupid, over something small, but let somebody in the world do something, then I have to put on the Christianity and say, I have to forgive you." You know, we hurt the people that we love most. We hurt them, the ones that we love most, we hurt the most. And with bitterness, man, it stains. You know, I work with stain all the time. All the time I work with stain. And man, it's like impossible to get off of a flat painted wall. If you get stain on a flat, something that, now high gloss, man, you could rub that thing out good. But flat, you ain't getting it out. My shoes. I'll buy a brand new pair of shoes that I'm going to work in. And I try to be careful when I'm staining the floor because I want my shoes to look good as long as I can at work. It gives me about 2 days. And I'll get some stain on it. Man, that stain don't come out. It doesn't come out. You know, I don't want my kids growing up hating and being bitter towards people because I am. Because they will. Because I'm Superman in their life. You know, my kids, they look up to a bunch of people. And I'm going to be honest with you. Your kids, they've looked up to a bunch of people and they do look up to a bunch of people. But how do we impress ourselves on our kids? Do they see Christ? Do they see the joy of Christ? Or do they see bitterness and hate and malice and all that other stuff? What do they see? Some things that could be called stains. Hurt. We've all been hurt. Are we willing to forgive? Discouragement. We've all been discouraged a time or two. Are we willing to give it to God? Depression. Who hasn't been depressed? Man, we all go through it. I think it all links back to being unforgivable or unforgiving to somebody. Negligence, carelessness, offended, lost, gossip. I mean, we can go down the line. What kind of stains? I mean, if your kids hear you gossip about somebody, guess what? They're going to gossip about somebody too. Your kids see that you're hurt, they're going to hate the person that hurt you. You know, my kids have no idea on who hurts me. I try to make them go out of the room when I start telling my wife stuff. I don't want them to hear it. I don't want them to think anything bad about them. Have they? I don't know if they've put the I'm not even going to tell them how to do it. Starting to tread on dangerous waters. But man, if we get depressed, they're going to be down. Who in here likes hanging out with somebody who's down all the time? Nobody. Man, my wife, when I ain't working, I'll get down. And she'll get lost. Why don't you leave me here by myself? You know, who wants to hang out with somebody who's always criticizing and always cutting and always, I mean, unless they're playing. Unless you know that's their nature and playing, hey, have yourself a ball. But if they're serious, who in here wants to be around somebody? You don't. And man, you stain. Believe it or not, bitterness, your bitterness, my bitterness, it stains those around us. And it hurts and stunts the growth of those around us. We need to cut it down. Ephesians 4:30 and through 32, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You know, we forget that Jesus forgave us. And you know, we'll always be quick to remember when Jesus saved us from, man, we'll be quick to say, "Thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord. Thank you from where you brought me from." But man, when it comes time for us to do the same to somebody else, to be kind to somebody else, right away we shut up our bowels of mercy, right away we shut up our bowels of compassion and say, "I don't want to. There's no need." Yes, there is. If not, bitterness is coming. We get bitter, and man, before you know it, it's been 20 years, and we've done absolutely nothing that we were supposed to do for the cause of Christ. Or God wanted so much more to do in our life, and because of the bitterness that we allowed to fester up inside of us, and we watered that thing, and we fed that thing, man, before you know it, we're going to look 20 years ahead and look back and say, man, why didn't I let go of this back then? This is so stupid. And God wanted to do so much in my life. And He could have if I didn't have this. The dangers of bitterness. Not only does it interrupt the fellowship with our Savior, number two, it stains the family, our family and friends. But number three, it makes our future sad. I've been to a few churches. I'm going to be honest with you. And you know, some people that have been hurt, they become bitter and never came back. You know people like that, right? Everybody in here knows people that here has not been back because they've been hurt over something and it's never been resolved on either party. I don't know if it's stubbornness or pride or arrogancy, but man, it just didn't get fixed. So now they decided, well, I ain't never coming back there. Okay, happens everywhere. All right. Now, is it just the one party at fault? Or did the other party do all that they could to fix it? There's always two sides to a story. I'm trying to live that way. When I start hearing stuff about one side, right away I'll try to think, well, there is two sides of the story. My wife, she always tells me that. Well, you know, there is two sides to the story. And there is. You know, people that we hurt, do we say within ourselves, did I do everything I could to fix it? Did I do everything that I could not to bring this division between two Christians? Or did I get pride-filled and arrogant? Did I do everything I could to keep that family or to keep that church member from blowing out of here and going and running their mouth because they got discouraged or they got hurt because of something I said or because something that I stood on and that I wouldn't talk to them about it? I just gave them, hey, listen, I've known arrogant people. I won't fix it. And they'll always choose to be that way. But the Bible says, now no chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous. See, we get chastised. We get scourged. If you're a child of God, you do. If I'm a child of God, I do. And them whippings hurt. But at the time we're getting whipped on, for what we've done, for what we've allowed to happen, it isn't joyous, but I believe if we humble ourselves, there can be joy at the end. Because God, hey, just like that guy that offended me and hurt me, did I think he was going to say he was sorry? No, I thought he was too big to say that he was sorry. Because we've kind of had it before, and he never said he was sorry. And this time I thought it was no different. But I had to get that off of me. Why? Because I kept waking up thinking about it every single day. And man, it's by the grace of God, he said he was sorry. And what happened? Joy came. Joy came. God had his way, not my way, not the other guy's way. God had his way. Man, I got beat up for a whole year over that in my mind. It was self-afflicted. Had I just went and said, dude, you hurt me, it would have been over with. But I let it fester. I watered that thing. I conspired in my mind. You know how the devil is if you let him play with your mind. Man, he'll take you all over the place and back again. And before you know it, man, you're so full of hate. You're so full of looking at, I'm never going to let that happen again. You don't know how many ministries I've seen destroyed over bitterness. One that breaks my heart right now because a spirit of bitterness is there and they will not let it go. Will not. It's probably two families that go to this place. They don't have a Sunday night service no more. Talking about getting rid of their midweek service. You think that's of God? No, there's something wrong there. And guess who's always blamed? Those that blew up and left. No. There's something wrong there. Please don't let that be here. Amen. Let's be unified for the cause of Christ. You know, we have, believe it or not, we have to love one another. And we have to care for one another. Hey, listen, you know, me and my brothers, we would always fight. Me and my sister, man, she would fight and we'd lose. I'd say we'd fight because there was really no fight. But man, let somebody come up against them or come up against me, buddy, it was on. Wasn't nobody talking trash about my sister till this day. I did a job for a friend of mine last year. And he looked at me and he was like, hey, man, he forgot that Rhonda was my sister. He's like, man, how's Rhonda doing? You know, isn't she like your cousin or something? And the whole time he's going, how's Rhonda doing? I was like, dude, I will sock you up. What are you talking about? How's Rhonda? She's married, 2 kids, 2 grandkids. Dude, don't go there. You know, we're quick, man. See, here's the thing. Jesus' blood makes you and me brothers and sisters. And here's the thing. His blood is more precious than the blood that runs through your family and my family. And he wants all of us to be in unity, to love one another, to care for one another, to be kind to each other, to know our place with each other. That's what Jesus wants. Our future is sad. You know, my dad, I'm done. I got like 3 more verses, then I'm done. Looking in Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. I believe when we hold bitterness, that we tell grace, I don't want it. You just push your grace, God. I don't want your grace. I don't want your help. We'll say this by our actions. Of course, nobody would hear and foolishly say with their mouth, God, I don't want your grace. But because we hold this inside of us, we fail the grace of God in our life. James 3:14-15 says, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Who puts that in us? Who do we allow to give us these thoughts, this wisdom of bitterness and envying and strife and war and all this? It says it don't come from above. It's earthly, sensual, devilish. The devil's behind every bit of what we allow to go on up here when we don't forgive or if we hold bitterness, if we get hurt and say, you know what? I ain't letting it happen again, and get callous. My dad, I got a couple more minutes, right? My dad, he got bitter with a preacher. My dad was on fire growing up, man. He's going to nursing homes, preaching in the nursing homes, man. Going out soul winning, going out calling. Man, my mom and my dad, they was on fire doing something for God. And man, we were just little kids, 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old. My brother Chris, 9 years old, the best. And man, we're all going to church and serving the Lord, loving God, coming home. Our family life was great, loving God. My dad, we didn't have much, man. We lived in the ghetto, but man, we had Jesus and we had each other. And man, life was great. Till one day, we was at church, and this black family come in the doors. And this preacher said to this black family, "You know, I think you might be more comfortable down the street, the other church down there, because there's more people of your kind down there." My dad grew up 14th and Selden over by the old Tiger Stadium. That's all that lives over there. My dad, after the service, was crushed. He went to that preacher. He said, "Hey, man, my best friend's black. You're going to tell me if I invite him to church that he can't come?" He said, "No, Dean, you misunderstand." Then he tried to tickle his ears, tried to calm him down after what he just did. My dad has never stepped a foot in church again. Started drinking moonshine and liquor and started living that fast life and going to the bar and blowing all his money and going to the casinos, blowing all his money. And man, just got so bitter and won't hear. Even today, I'll call and say, "Man, ask him if he's going to church. Jesus is coming." Nope. That's how he says it too. Nope. I said, "Man, you're so bitter, man." 30-something years later, bitter, hateful. My dad, I'm telling you, he was mean when he flipped. When he was serving God, humble, loved Jesus. But when he held that bitterness, his future was sad. He's sad today. Miserable, hurt, grumpy. But I believe God's going to turn him around. I really do. I believe there's still hope for my dad. And then I'm done. Friendships are destroyed of bitterness. People go to hell because God's children become bitter. I wonder how much blood is on my hands and how much blood is on your hands because we've gotten bitter with somebody and we won't fix that thing. And because of it, when it comes time to tell somebody else, that bitterness has sprung up fear. It's sprung up, "I can't." It's sprung up, "They won't listen." It's sprung up, "Who am I?" All that stuff, when you go soul winning, don't matter. Because it never mattered before. The devil's just using it as a tactic to keep us from going. I guarantee you, those of us that don't go out and tell people or pass out tracts or invite people to church anymore, somewhere in their life they become bitter. And because of it, it's brought forth more ungodly fruit in our life. And here's the thing, here's that last verse I was telling you about. Proverbs 14:10, "The heart knoweth his own bitterness." The heart knoweth his own bitterness. You know who you're bitter at. I know who I'm bitter at. "Well, Brother Todd, you don't know how they hurt me." I don't have to know how they hurt you. You know how they hurt you. But you know God wants you to forgive. And until you do, bitterness will be there. "But Brother Todd, you don't know what they put me through." You know what? You don't know how much I hated this guy. You don't know how much I desired to hurt this person. We will never know how much is going on in each other's heart because we won't show that to one another. But guess who sees it all? God sees it all. And guess who knows it all? You and I know it all. We know what's in here. We know the bitterness. We know the hate. We know the hurt. We know the disgust. We know everything in here you and I know that we have and we carry it every single day. We can't say, oh God, I didn't know that was there. Because the Bible just said that the man knows in his heart what his bitterness is. He knows it. Would you get rid of it tonight? God's ready to heal. Are you ready to be healed? God's ready to deliver. Will you be delivered? God is ready right now, as I speak, to accept your sacrifice. But would you be willing to sacrifice that thing? God's right here ready to help you chop that thing down. That root of bitterness, that tree, that old nasty Detroit root that's grown 50 feet up in the air. God's ready right now to help you. All you have to do is make that step. Would you be willing to make it? Well, does that mean I got to do this and go to them? No, I think it means that you got to go to the altar. Number one, make it right with your Savior and take instruction from Him on the next step that you should do and what I should do. That's what I believe with all my heart. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what the Bible says. And guess what's unrighteous? Bitterness. Guess what's ungodly? Bitterness. So let's all stand together, bow our heads, close our eyes. Know this, I didn't come here to offend anybody. I preached what God told me to preach. And I know I would be foolish enough to I couldn't, listen, I'm not going to be foolish enough to believe that I'm the only one that deals with this thing called bitterness. Somebody hurts you, okay. It's grown into bitterness, okay. Chop it down now. Go to God. Ask God to help you with that thing. And if, listen, He may not tell you to go to that person. And man, He just may fill your heart with joy. And maybe you won't ever have to go to that person and say, hey, you know what? You hurt me. Just like I did. But I felt, listen, I felt with all my heart, God was telling me, man, you got to make this right. And for a year, pride was in my heart that I would not make it right. Or maybe somebody did something to you when you was young. And man, it really messed with your head. Really messed you up. Hey, listen, God never intended for you to hold on to that thing. Ever. There's healing in Christ. And here's the sad part. We know there's healing in Christ, but we don't want to be healed from it. We want to carry it. We want it on a daily basis to think about it and to ponder on it. That sounds crazy, don't it? Knowing that we can be healed, knowing that we can be delivered and say no. Just as much as knowing that we have salvation in Christ. Knowing that He bled and died on the cross. Knowing that He was buried. Knowing that He rose from the dead for you and me. Why? To forgive our sins and to give us eternal life with Him in heaven. And say no to it. That sounds crazy. That sounds insane. For somebody to say no. You know what, Jesus? I know You did all this for me, but guess what? I don't want it. Is that you tonight? Everybody's heads bowed, everybody's eyes closed. I want to ask you tonight. Do you know for sure if you was to die today, you'd go to heaven? If you know for sure, raise your hand. as a testimony unto man and God. God, I know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Now, you know, the only way you can raise your hand and know that honestly and truthfully is if you accepted Christ as your Savior. Outside of that, outside, you say, well, I'm good enough to go to heaven. Nope, you're never going to make it. That's not the formula. It's not part of the formula. It's God's goodness. It's the Lord Jesus Christ's blood that cleanses from all sin. Okay, you can put your hands down. Now I want to ask a question. If you don't know for sure if you was to die today, you'd go to heaven, would you raise your hand? Say, Brother Todd, I don't know if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. Here's my hand. I want to know. Could you pray for me? Praise the Lord. Everybody's saved. Glory to God. What a blessing. God knows my heart. And I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes when I used to preach when I was younger, I used to like to make people mad and upset. And I thought that's what it was all about. Just because of the people that I ran with and heard the way that they talked about it after the service. How great it was to stir things up. That ain't the way I want things today. Man, I want so much to help God's people and do all that I can to love people the way that I should. To be an encouragement to God's people, not a discouragement. To be a lifter up of men instead of pushing somebody down in order to lift myself. Hey, listen, that's crazy. It's not what God has called us to do. We need to love one another. Forgive one another. Be kind to each other. Be in the unity of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for this time. Thank you for your love and for your compassion. Father, please help us, Lord God, to focus on you, to love each other the way we should. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would teach us, Lord, and show us, Lord. You said already, Lord, that we know the bitterness that's in our heart. And Lord God, on a daily basis, Lord, every single day, when the devil tries coming to water that thing, Lord, help us to right away trust in you and look for your healing, look for your deliverance, Lord, and look for the way to chop that thing down, Lord. We love you, Lord. Give us instruction tonight. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.